This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. Welcome to the Thursday edition of the WBBM Noon Business Hour, presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Good afternoon. I'm Jim Goodis in for Chris Kreidel. Right now, 54 degrees at O'Hare, where it's cloudy, but AccuWeather says we'll have a partly sunny afternoon. It'll be breezy with a high of 58. Let's see if the markets are going up as we check in live at Bloomberg with Elisa Parenti.
Indeed they are, Jim. The Dow is higher by 88 points, or a third of a percent, at 23,417. NASDAQ up just a fraction now, in fact, dipping into the red back and forth over the flat line. S&P still higher by 5. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is up almost 0.2%. We found out yesterday that Hurricanes Harvey and Irma helped accelerate sales of new homes last month, but the storm damage depressed sales of existing homes in the South. According to the National Association of Realtors, contract signings did grow in the rest of the country, but even those sales were limited by a limited number of listings. First-time claims for jobless benefits rose for the week, but with the total at 233,000, they're still holding slightly below what had been forecast. And Ford has just boosted its profits the old-fashioned way by selling more pickups. Sales of the F-Series jumped 14% in the third quarter. Back to you, Jim.
Today on the WBBM Noon Business Hour and Action Pack program, we'll talk about the future of Janet Yellen. We'll look at Ford and its third quarter earnings being picked up by pickups. We'll take a look at the markets. We'll also talk about the home of the future and what might be in store in a few years for you with technology. And finally, could Twitter become profitable? All that ahead on the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The future of Fed Chair Janet Yellen appears uncertain while the European Central Bank reveals its plans for its bond buying program. Plus, the latest numbers on jobless claims are out. A lot to talk about, and joining us to talk about it, Chris Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
So let's start first with Janet Yellen. And what does the street think about her? And what does the street think is going to happen if she stays or if she goes?
Well, goodness. You know, Yellen's done a solid job as Fed chair. We've had increasingly uneventful markets under her watch, which, you know, is a pretty good indication that they've moved policy gradually enough not to create any ripples. We have avoided recession, of course, and at the same time, inflation is very much under control. So I think if Yellen is not selected, she will be missed. But, you know, we also have a fine group of candidates in the wings, particularly I think if Jay Powell is selected, he's already at the Fed, and the market's likely to take that change in stride.
All right. Speaking of central banks, the European Central Bank is revealing its plans about bond buying. What's it doing and what does it mean?
Well, at the moment, the ECB is buying bonds at a rate of $60 billion a month. They're buying a lot of corporate debt as well as sovereign debt. And they made formal the news that leaked last week that they're going to step that down to $30 billion a month starting in January. And that's going to run through September. Now, if that was the only news we got, we likely wouldn't have seen much market impact. But in addition to that, Mario Draghi, the central bank governor, made clear they will likely continue to buy bonds after September, but at a slower pace. And any possibility of rate hikes in Europe are going to come long after the bond buying program is wound up. So, looking at the market impact this morning, European bond yields are quite a bit lower. The euro took a big hit, and because of that, the dollar is up today. One of the things Draghi said that stood out to me is that they're still worried about growth prospects in Europe. But, we're looking at the UPS numbers this morning, and in particular, a comment about international revenue being up 5.7%, led by double-digit gains in several European countries. I think there's a significant risk Draghi may remove accommodation too slowly, and Europe may be wrestling with a bigger inflation problem down the road.
All right, coming back home now, let's talk about the jobless numbers that came out this morning. What do you think about them?
Well, they were right on expectations. 233,000 people filed for unemployment claims last week. That's a number consistent with extremely good economic times. You look back the last four decades, it's right down on the lows. It shows that the impact of the big hurricanes has passed through, that people are being put back to work, which is terrific news. I think it also reflects the fact that a lot of people in the modern economy are not working for large companies and therefore not eligible for unemployment insurance.
So you're pretty bullish about these numbers.
Yeah, you know, they're consistent with an economy that's gaining speed, and that's exactly what we're seeing in the data as well. GDP growth was 1% at its lowest in 2016. It's accelerated up to 2.25%. We'll find out tomorrow what the third quarter looks like, but you know, put that together with potentially bullish fiscal policy, with changes at the Fed that may result in a more growth tolerant open market committee, and then of course a really nice decent showing of by corporate earnings this quarter. I think market prospects are pretty good.
Chris Lowe, Chief Economist at FTN Financial in New York, is always a pleasure to have you on the program. And up next, Ford's quarterly report shows the automaker on a roll.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Ford is reporting a third quarter profit of more than $1.5 billion. That's up 63% from a year ago. Let's find out what's driving sales for the U.S. auto giant as we welcome John McElroy, the automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv out of Detroit. So, John, what's fueling all those profits at Ford?
Well, Jim, number one is people are buying more and more of those trucks, and Ford makes really good profits on its F-Series pickup. Also, last year it had a big bill for recalls, which it's not facing this year. So when you put in all those trucks that are making more profit and don't have to pay out as much for a recall like you did a year ago, that's why you've seen its profit shoot up more than 60%.
You know, pickup trucks used to be kind of a poor man's option, but they've really sort of become their own line of luxury vehicles these days, haven't they?
No, that's a great point. They really are luxury vehicles. I mean, I want to say the average F-150 pickup, I shouldn't call it F-150, the average F-Series pickup is about $45,000. And you've probably heard recently Ford's coming out with an F-350 and 450 loaded to the gills. It's going to be over $100,000. And yet there's people lined up waiting to buy them.
Is that a trend that's going to continue, or do you see any concern that that might slough off?
That's a great question, because everybody's wondered, how long will this love affair with the pickup continue? And it just looks like it's continuing. Now, having said that, it's not growing as fast as it has been. The growth has slowed down, but it's still growing.
Is this one of those things where it's the potential that this could be the next SUV? You know, Detroit fell in love with the SUV, so did American drivers. Fuel prices went up, boom, that went away. Are pickups in danger of that same thing happening?
You know, we don't see that on the horizon. When you look at what's happened with oil prices, you know, due to this fracking that's made all kind of oil and natural gas available, you know, it just is not on the horizon. That's not to say it could never happen, but we just don't see any evidence of it happening.
Is the same thing happening at, say, GM and Chrysler with their pickup lines that we know of?
They're going you're right. And not just GM and Chrysler. The same goes for Toyota, and even you could look at Nissan as making great increases with its full-size pickup, and Honda just jumped into the market last year with the Ridgeline. So everybody wants to get into this pool because it's so profitable.
What else in the auto line, what else in the auto showroom are bringing in customers, and what are areas where we're seeing disappointing sales?
Well, you know, it's funny. Let's talk on the upside. You know, even though we're talking about SUVs and pickups selling well, So are green cars. Sales of hybrids, plug-ins, and electric cars, the numbers are small, but they're growing faster than the overall market. And if you want to look at what's not doing so hot, passenger cars. The traditional sedan, whether it's a full-size or a mid-size sedan, boy, that market's getting tough because the public just seems to have fallen in love with these crossovers, which are kind of like mini SUVs.
It's interesting because remember the days when the Taurus or the Camry were the top sellers, and now it's anything but, it seems.
Well, no, not exactly true. The Camry and the Accord continue to buck the trend. And in fact, I would even throw the Honda Civic and Toyota Corolla into that. They continue to do quite well. Now, they're not as selling as strongly as they did a few years ago, but they're still very big sellers.
John, as always, great perspective and always fun to talk cars with you and trucks. It's always a fun topic, especially when
it's... Thanks so much, Jim.
All right, John McElroy. He's the automotive industry analyst and host of Autoline.tv out of Detroit. Let's get another live look at the markets from Bloomberg. This report is sponsored by Lake Forest Sports Cars, the Ferrari specialists. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Jim, we continue to see some green here on our screens. The Dow up 99 points at 23,429. NASDAQ up 4 points, right now at 65.67. And the S&P on the advance by 7 points or 0.25% at 25.64. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is gaining 0.25%. Crude oil futures also rising higher by 0.5% and approaching $52.50 a barrel. Apple might be dreading the start of pre-orders for the iPhone 10. That starts tomorrow, now that the iPhone 8, released at the same time, posted the weakest sales of any of the company's smartphones. Two market research firms tell the Wall Street Journal that pressures the 10's launch, and there are some concerns. Twitter says it's been overstating its user count for 3 years. Not by design, it says it was an error. Its user growth in the last quarter, presumably measured accurately, was much stronger than expected, and Twitter's forecast for this quarter raises the possibility it will be a profitable company for the first time. Stock in Twitter is higher by 19% today. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed prices here today. Corn's been down 1.5 to up 1. At the moment, December down 0.25 at 350.75. Beans have been down 2.5 to up 3. November's down 2.75 at the moment at 972.75. And wheat has been down 4.5 to up 2. We're down 4 at 431.5. Mixed prices in the grains. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Markets gaining ground today. Michael Palumbo, who's the founder of Third Millennium Trading and author of the book Calculated Risk here in Chicago, joins us. So let's talk about the markets and what's driving them, Michael.
Good afternoon, Jim. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, as you had said, Twitter and actually Ford are two names that have had great earnings that came out overnight, and they are driving the market higher. I know you have a story on Twitter. I'll just mention it's up 20%, which is a huge move for the stock. To look at Ford, they beat by 6 cents, 39 cents versus 33 expected, and the F-trucks were much better than expected, and that was one of the biggest reasons why they beat. And they also did much better at cost cutting than the market had perceived.
Michael, I would like to hear your take on Twitter. What do you think?
Well, the big news in Twitter is not really the number as far as earnings number. They still are losing money. But the big news is that they are now saying they're going to have alternate revenue sources beyond just advertising, and they're going to sell their data to other companies. They've already done some of that. And I think the market is in love with that idea. The problem with Twitter has been that they have not found a way to monetize what is a very good business as far as users. They have a ton of people that are using Twitter, but they haven't found a way to monetize. And this news now that they're going to sell data, it may not be great for us consumers, but as far as the business itself, it does open up some revenue streams that other, you know, otherwise were not being tapped. So I think it's huge news. That's why the stock's really up. It's not the number that they came out with. It's that news.
Is it really a good sign for social media in general that perhaps we're seeing that these providers like Twitter and Facebook and others are finding ways, as much as we may not like it, to monetize the information they're getting from us?
Yeah, the thing is it depends on if you're a stockholder or if you're a consumer, you know, and some people are both. Yeah, if you're a consumer, you have to be concerned about this implication as far as what kind of data they're sharing and how that affects you. Obviously, as a stockholder, it's gonna drive revenue, so it's good for the company. It's a great example of sometimes news can be good and bad at the same time, depending on where you sit. Shareholders certainly are happy, though.
They're happy, but what about people who are thinking about getting into the market or expanding their holdings in the social media space? What should they be looking at? What should they be thinking about as they consider that?
Well, Twitter has been a market underperformer for many, many quarters. This is the first earnings that they've announced in over a year where the stock has actually rallied significantly. The last couple, the stock has just tanked. So it is the time to buy Twitter obviously was yesterday, but that doesn't mean that it doesn't have more to run. This news that they're actually adding selling data to their revenue stream is to me a big event, and it could mean the stock has more room to run because it has been depressed for many, many quarters. So, you know, the upside on the stock is probably pretty high, assuming they really can follow through and raise their revenue sources.
We've talked about Ford. We've talked about Twitter, the auto industry. We've talked about social media. What else should we be looking at the markets today?
Well, the dollar has been very strong today, and it's been strong for the last month and a half, and bond yields have been going up, and that's very correlated. As bond yields have gone up, it's made the dollar more attractive. So the dollar and yields have both gone from the yields in the 10-year have gone from 205 to 240 in about a month and a half. How does that affect the markets? It's made stocks look a little bit more expensive, and that's why even though these earnings have been good, the stock market really hasn't done much because what's happened instead is they've bid up the dollar and they've bid up bond yields instead, and so that's also macroeconomically affecting the market, and it's probably a reason why the market has not rallied more than it has on pretty good earnings season so far.
How concerned should we be about what's going on in Europe? The European Central Bank buying bonds, the euro's decline. How worrisome should that be for us here?
You know, the euro is still up for the year. So, you know, obviously Europe is always an important part of how the U.S. economy. We're all interrelated. It's Europe, it's China, it's the United States. We have to be concerned about what's happening around the rest of the world. But Europe does seem to be in better shape than it was at the beginning of the year. It's just, you know, I look at the United States. And I joke about this. It's the tallest midget in the circus. It's not an awesome economy right now, but it's still better than anywhere else. And so that's why our stock market has outperformed every other, basically just about every other stock market over the last 5 years in the world. Europe is a concern because they do make up a good portion of the revenues of U.S. stocks because a lot of them are international and they get a lot of their revenue from overseas. But, you know, the euro is, to me, fairly valued here. If anything, maybe a little bit cheap. And it has risen this year. So it actually has gone up for the first time in many years. And I do think that there's nothing very concerning right now. I think we're in a pretty good sweet spot right now, as you can tell by markets hitting new highs and hanging in there. So, you know, right now it's been a pretty good situation, and I'm just wondering when is the bad news going to hit, because there really hasn't had we haven't had a lot of it lately.
Well, let's hope not soon, at least anyway.
I'm with you.
Michael Palumbo, he is the founder of Third Millennium Trading and the author of the book Calculated Risk. He's here in Chicago. Always a pleasure to have him on the program. Ahead on Technology Thursday, sponsored by Baird, the smart home, smart car, and smart city could all be connected in the future.
An economy of words. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Technology Thursday, sponsored by Baird, and this afternoon the focus is on the exponential growth of smart tech. And let's talk about what lies ahead with Paul Hochman, the president of Humongous Media. Again, one of my favorite names of a company. I love that name. And former tech editor for the Today Show out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. Hey, Paul, so let's talk about smart tech and its expansion in our homes.
Yeah, a lot of people have looked at that sort of in a narrow way, just as you described, you know, Internet of Things, right? Sort of connected refrigerators and other devices, even the ability to connect from far away for a consumer to turn down the heat in their house or turn on the lights as they get home. And that's great. But when you take a step back at the broad view, two things happen. First of all, you look at how much. Just look at volume for a second. There's a Juniper Research study that says by 2020, in about obviously 2.5 years or so, about 30 billion so-called smart devices will be in use around the world. Now, what that means is that there is a huge opportunity in, for cities. Municipal planning sounds like a dull subject, but when you're talking about how much power gets used by cities and how much energy can be saved if that's managed properly, all of a sudden municipalities and cities are really taking notice, because they can save, if they properly gather that data, they can save huge amounts of money, and it's already happening in some cities we've heard of.
Paul, this is one example, I guess, of how the Internet of Things, we're probably just touching the tip of the iceberg right now on what this could mean for us in the future.
That's exactly right. I mean, easy example, Barcelona. It's been in the news a lot. Obviously, it's not such great news, but there's been some very interesting stuff. They will save close to $1 billion a year this next year in energy bills by installing things like basically sensors in streetlights, in parking and garage areas, and also in the roads. As it turns out, they now know. They're putting digital chips into garbage containers. They're putting them in the asphalt under parking spaces. And what's happening is they now have a much clearer picture about where people are in any given moment in the day and when they're traveling. Result, they know where power grid usage is going to be high. They know where traffic is going to be bad, pollution is going to grow, and so forth. So all this data is getting gathered to change people's not only their behavior, but also their how much they spend.
Paul, very quickly, one tip for people who are thinking about getting into the smart tech revolution, having a smart home. How can they be a smart consumer?
Smartest consumer is going to look at one language. A lot of people don't realize that there are lots of languages for these devices to speak with one another. In many cases, they're going to have to speak with one language to make it work. So if they're looking for devices for their home and eventually that will connect to them to the city, believe it or not, voice is probably, ironically, the language they should pick. So things like Google's Home device, Amazon's Echo device, both of those are voice-activated, and those are probably the leaders in connecting all devices to one kind of system. So that would be the future for the immediate foreseeable future.
Paul Hochman, the president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show out of Cambridge, Massachusetts. Always a pleasure to talk with you, Paul. And join us at this time tomorrow for Entrepreneur Friday. And still to come, we put the spotlight on Twitter.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Twitter's doing all right today. It's up about 3.25 points at 20.395. Let's see why Twitter's up and whether you should maintain confidence in it as we check in with Scott Kessler, the Deputy Director of Research, Equity Research, I should say, at CFRA Research in New York. So, Scott, why is Twitter doing so well?
Well, thanks a lot for having me today, Jim. There are a couple of reasons. Most obviously is they reported results for the third quarter, and I think across a number of different dimensions, whether you're looking at the user base, the revenues, the earnings, they delivered better than people anticipated. In addition, the outlook they provided for the fourth quarter, I think, was surprisingly better than many had anticipated as well. And, oh, by the way, as most probably know, I think this has been a company and a stock that has been much maligned over the past couple of years.
So should we now have more hope in social media platforms like Twitter that they can monetize adequately to turn a profit?
So the way I answer that question is I don't think there's any kind of confusion about whether or not these businesses can be viable over the long term. The question that we have specifically around Twitter is, after today's nearly 20% appreciation, whether investors should feel as positively going forward as they seem to be today. And our answer to that question is no. We think that there's a lot still out there for them to prove, and the valuation seems stretched. You referenced kind of whether social media can enable companies to become profitable and more successful. And we would look at Exhibit A, which is Facebook. They're reporting next week. We have a buy opinion on the stock, and I've had that in place for years. And we think, notwithstanding today's gains, Facebook is a much better option from an investor standpoint.
So it sounds like you don't believe that Twitter really has the firm foundation yet to be fully confident in going forward with it as an investment.
I think that is a very good way to put it. This is one quarter. I recall 3 months ago, Twitter was actually trading above the level it's at right now, and it sold off. And the reason for that is because people are concerned about their ability to consistently execute and provide value in the context of both advertisers and shareholders. So we'll see to what extent this is sustainable. But our guess is that this is one day. They're going to have to deliver a lot more and a lot more kind of regularly, I think, to gain more investor, let's say, confidence at this point, in my opinion.
Scott Kessler, the Deputy Director of Equity Research at CFRA Research in New York. Always good to have you on the program. Thanks for your perspective. If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at cbschicago.com/audio and at the all-new radio.com app. And we go to Bloomberg and Elisa Peretti.
Well, Jim, the Dow is now higher by 92 points, so the gain's approaching 0.5% at 23,421. NASDAQ up 2, S&P up 6, the Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index higher by 0.25%. United Parcel Service is showing it can make money from the surge in online shopping just in time for the crucial holiday season. UPS says revenue for each package in the U.S. climbed 2% in the third quarter. That's more than double the gain from a year earlier, before the world's largest package delivery company implemented higher prices and new fees on oversized items. So we've got stock in UPS now up 1%. Comcast showed resilience against the twin threats of hurricanes and TV competition. The biggest U.S. cable provider beat analyst estimates for profit and matched projections for revenue, even after the storms took a toll on subscriber gains. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago. We continue to keep an eye on business and report at 25 and 55, 24 hours a day. From the MB Financial Bank Studios, MB means business. This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM, WBBM.
Thanks for joining us for the WBBM Noon Business Hour. And be sure to listen to News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM throughout the day at 25 and 55 past each hour as we continue following the news that affects your money.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.